This is the AgriTalk podcast brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions. It's a free-for-all on today's AgriTalk. Trade issues, farm bill, biofuels. There's been movement on all these issues since we last had the team together. Probably even more movement than Pam's combine.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
No rain in my area right now, but that doesn't mean that it's going to stay dry for very long. We've got rain in the forecast. And as a matter of fact, the Corn Belt, middle of the Corn Belt, between now and Wednesday, 2 to 6 inches of rain. That is something that I don't think anybody is really looking forward to right now. Good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning on AgriTalk. We've got the team together. Iowa farmer Pam Johnson can be with us this morning because, well, the combine is sitting in the shed. Pro farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer will be here with the latest on the farm bill saga. And Sean Haney will have perspective from north of the border to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. And we'll cover some biofuel issues. President Trump is headed back to Iowa, so, of course, the buzz is that he'll confirm E15 will be available in all areas year-round. And we've got to cover the latest perspectives on what's happening between the U.S. and China. Are relations deteriorating as much as they appear to be? Or are both sides just trying to tee up the other side for a final push towards normalizing trade relations? We should touch on some of the market issues, African swine fever, the U.S. economy. Man, we have got a lot to cover on today's show. And, of course, we want you to be part of the conversation as well. If you've got a question or a comment for today's show, give us a call, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. If you'd rather let us know what you're thinking via Twitter, just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Right now, let's turn it over to Clinton Griffiths, get an update on the news. How you doing, Clinton?
You know, pretty good. That list you're reading, I have to laugh to myself. You know, goodness sakes, you want to talk about having some issues in agriculture to talk about. You know, right. I know you've got those same relatives that I have that say, what do you guys talk about every day? Yeah. Is there anything happening even that's important? Like every day, it feels like we're make or break around here.
Exactly.
You know, we're standing on the precipice. And I think Jim Wiesmeyer, he says it's in Trump years. And I think he's, you know, this is, it's not like dog years. It's his own time frame. But things just happen and are happening so fast and so many different fronts. And so,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know. But of course, you get into the middle of October, you're talking harvest and everybody, well, except for the weather out there. But I mean, everybody's running so fast. It's always busy anyway.
Exactly. That is exactly right. And that's why we're here, Clinton.
Well, absolutely. We're here.
We are here to run, to keep track of everything that's going on and
pipe it
straight into the combine cab.
That's exactly. You don't have to lift that finger. Chip Flory's lifting that finger for you. You know? It's like a good old-fashioned farmer wave. Chip Flory every day. Let me take that on my shoulders.
Perfect. Love it.
It's snowing in places. In the U.S.
What?
I know. Up in North Dakota. Snow up there.
Okay, now you got me calling up the radar.
Yeah, no, it's snow this morning.
Oh, it is.
It's snowing.
That is blue on the radar map.
I'm not ready for that. It's going to be 85 here in northern Indiana next week, or 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
And you had rain overnight, didn't you?
We did, and we're supposed to have rain all weekend.
Yeah.
All weekend. So, you know, we're going to be sitting around for a little while, you know, checking belts and working pulleys. So what are you going to do?
Exactly.
What are you going to do? Hey, some breaking news here. The Senate has voted to advance the Kavanaugh to final consideration. Just happened.
Yep.
That vote will be on Saturday. We'll see what happens there. Always an interesting to watch. It looks like they had, like, I think, 53 votes in favor to move that forward. Of course, at any time, those votes could change.
Right. Right, absolutely. And the Democrat from West Virginia, name escapes me
Manchin?
Right now. Say it again.
Joe Manchin?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Did vote yes.
He did.
Did vote yes. Of course, Trump took West Virginia by 40-some points. So it would have been difficult for him not to do that.
Right. Some interesting, you started out talking a little bit of China trade. Boy, that is heating up. Vice President Mike Pence delivering a scathing attack on China's economic policies during a Washington think tank speech yesterday, including Beijing's retaliatory tariffs targeting the Midwest and our farmers for maximum political effect. Pence telling the Hudson Institute in a major foreign policy address that the administration, after already levying some $300 million in duties on Chinese goods, will not stop until China trades fairly.
We will levy even more tariffs with the possibility of substantially more than doubling that number unless a fair and reciprocal trade deal is made.
So, Chip, even doubling that number.
Wow. I mean, that's all you can really say is there is no back off right now on the Trump administration and the trade team when it comes to China.
Oh,
there is zero back off.
No, and they're going full speed ahead.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to hear what Pam and Sean and Jim think about that coming up here in just a little bit.
So also in that speech, the vice president accusing Beijing of interfering in the elections by targeting agriculture and other industries in states that voted for the administration in 2016. Here's what he had to say.
By one estimate, more than 80% of U.S. counties targeted by China voted for President Trump and I in 2016. Last week, the Chinese government paid to have a multi-page supplement inserted into the Des Moines Register, the paper of record of the home state of our ambassador to China, and a pivotal state in 2018 and 2020. The supplement, designed to look like a news article, cast our trade policies as reckless and harmful to Iowans.
Pretty strong words about that, Chip. What's the reaction in Iowa to that ad?
You know, when it showed up, the number one, it kind of left a bad taste in your mouth that the Des Moines Register would run it. Okay,
sure.
That I think was, I don't know if that was universal, because, you know, from my perspective, being in the media, hey, when something comes along like that, it's part of the process. But being involved in agriculture, it left a bad taste in my mouth that the Des Moines Register would do that. And but I think when you read it and look at it, it does feel a little creepy because it felt like that direct message from the Chinese government to the people of Iowa.
Yeah.
So it felt creepy, Clinton. I'm not. We'll see what Pam thinks about it, but it did. It felt creepy.
Vice President Pence also saying in a year of high political stakes and obviously drama, he's reminding a national audience watching that live stream that the White House is looking out for farmers with trade talks with the EU, Japan, and new deals in South Korea, Mexico, and Canada.
The USMCA is a great win for American farmers and American manufacturers.
And obviously that statement will have plenty of judgment over the next few years as it is, it's still got to be ratified, but then starts to take effect. It's going to be a while before it's fully implemented.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's going to be quite some time before it's fully implemented. You know, I talked with Secretary Sonny Perdue this week. I talked with former Secretary Vilsack this week. Both of them were in general agreement that, hey, we've got an agreement. It's better than not having one.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's the bottom line there. Thanks, Clinton. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Got the free-for-all next. Jim, Sean, and Pam right here on AgriTalk. The Syngenta Rooted in Ag series showcases individuals in agriculture whose hard work and determination are helping to secure a better future. They highlight customer stories in their annual contest, but also celebrate Syngenta employees with strong roots in the industry. Sales rep Dwayne Hobbs was awarded the Leadership Award for the South and East customer units for Syngenta. He explains how he is rooted in ag.
Farmers are the most successful innovators I know. There isn't a farmer who doesn't want to grow his best crop next year, even if this year's crop was a success or a failure. And being a part of that is why I'm rooted in agriculture. And it guides all the decisions I make. I'm not the customer of any of the people I work with, but all the people I work with are my customers.
For more hashtag Rooted in Ag stories, head to SyngentaThrive.com/RootedInAg.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't miss your chance to win one of two brand new John Deere Gators during the Valent Fully Loaded Sweepstakes. The 2019 John Deere Gator is the ultimate utility vehicle for getting things done. Fast, powerful, and capable of handling payloads up to 1,500 pounds, the John Deere Gator works just as hard as you do. Enter for a chance to win now at ValentFullyLoaded.com. That's ValentFullyLoaded.com. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Ends March 10, 2019. See official rules for details at ValentFullyLoaded.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It's a free-for-all. We've got Sean Haney, Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio, on the line with us. Sean, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Chip. You know what? Tyne and I are not getting enough credit because we headed into last weekend saying that we were going to get together at Tyne's house, drink some beer, and solve the problems. The problems are solved, and no one's talking about it.
Agreement reached. How did that happen? Surprise, surprise, huh?
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. Hey, I was cruising through the AgriTalk app, and I saw you on there.
How did that happen? Look at that, eh?
Holy smokes.
You can now listen to Real Ag Radio on the AgriTalk app. So, yeah, awesome.
Yes, it is. It's very cool. You guys need to check it out. Sean does a great job talking not just Canadian agriculture, global agriculture, but there's some very interesting things in there about Canadian agriculture as well, especially this harvest season. Sean, what is going on?
Oh, the snow. I heard you guys, you and Clint, talking about snow in North Dakota. We've been dealing with that up here. It's slowly melting. You know, it's been a real hard harvest here in Western Canada. Yields are a concern because of how dry it was, and now we're getting snow, so we can't even get our crappy crop off the ground into a bin. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of the NCGA. It's kind of frustrating for you as well, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. And unlike Sean, we've got a great crop out there that we just can't get at.
Right. How did it handle the wind yesterday or the day before?
Well, surprisingly, we're fingers crossed. We've checked everything out. It looks okay, but there's just this constant concern about stock quality the longer we go here.
Right. And let's see if Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, is with us. You there, Jim?
I'm here.
Good deal. Dude, how do you even, like, function at a time like this in D.C.?
Well, since the Nats and Cubs are not in the playoffs, I have a lot of time, Chip. But we do have a lot of big issues going on, some of which were solved, with the Trump closing the deal on the USMCA, and now we've got the Farm Bill percolating at least, Chip.
Right, Right. Let's jump to USMCA. Haney, what's the reaction up in Canada?
I would say all the exporting commodities are relieved that there's going to be a trade deal. So if you talk to the beef, pork, cereal sectors, they're excited. They're glad to see it. Do no harm. Well, obviously, that was a U.S. message, but I would say the Canadian exporters definitely shared that sentiment. Canadian dairy and turkey and poultry, not happy. I would say that the Canadian dairy industry feels somewhat betrayed by Prime Minister Trudeau. Market access that was given up, I think that was expected if you get the honest opinion. It was the removal of Class 7, which is what USDA Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue pushed for from the very beginning, and he got it. And I think that's where a lot of the concern lies from a Canadian dairy perspective.
Yeah, Jim, talked yesterday with both Secretary Perdue and Secretary Vilsack. I think they kind of echo the way that farmers feel here in the U.S. They were relieved that we've got a deal.
Yeah, a new accord is better than no agreement. No agreement would have been a disaster. So by that nature of its own, it was a success. Yes, we got to get it passed. So we're going to see all these lawmakers from both political aisles who have been educated again on the importance of market access, whether or not they'll vote yes or no when this agreement comes up. Probably next year, Chip.
Right, probably next year on it before we even start to implement the agreement. Pam, what's your reaction?
Just plain and simple, great news.
Good.
And I think, you know, the question will be, so when are the tariffs that are looming over the benefits of NAFTA going to be lifted? And maybe, Jim, you've got some insight on that.
Well, I think Trump's going to continue to use that as leverage. Secretary Perdue acknowledges that this has taken some of the bloom off the, you know, U.S. MCA. But I think you're going to see this used as leverage to make sure, you know, lawmakers follow through on this vote, et cetera. That's his style. And I think that's, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah. So
yeah,
the
that just gets kind of old.
Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say, that just gets kind of old. Like, I just think that if we are going to actually have a free trade agreement, I know we took those words out of this, what we're calling this now, but I just think that, you know, in an act of good faith, in trying to have a very, very solid trading relationship between the three countries going forward, those tariffs need to be and should be removed. What's the purpose? Is it national security? Are we still going to hold on to that old carrot? I just think we got to move past this and get them lifted.
I think we will, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah. And maybe he'll change on this one because it will. Maybe it's the late October, you know, surprise that will boost some of the ag markets. I'm definitely not going to, you know, rule that out because it needs to be done. No doubt about it. And it'll give a kick because of the, not just Canada tariffs, but Mexico, corn, dairy, you know, pork, et cetera. There's some big gains to be made here.
Exactly. There are some big gains to be made. And Jim, I think your timing on it is dead on. Like it or not, Pam, the stuff that you produce has become a political tool.
Yes, and you know, the really happy to see some of the prices locally creeping up, but honestly, I really expected a big bump with that announcement. You know, almost maybe I wasn't being realistic, but I really thought the markets would react more positively to the good news.
Yeah, heck, even Class 3 milk futures went down this week. And I think it's because, Jim, don't you think it's because we're waiting for those steel and aluminum tariffs to be lifted, therefore lifting tariffs on some of our ag products or potentially opening the door for those tariffs to be lifted?
Absolutely. It's not a truly functioning North America, you know, trade agreement, even under the existing NAFTA. And until that happens, that's why you've seen a delayed response.
You know, and the one thing that's in this agreement that I think is raising a lot of eyebrows, Jim, Sean, Pam, is that if Mexico or Canada or the U.S. gets into trade talks with China, they need to alert the other countries before moving forward with that. I mean, all of a sudden, is it a North American trade block against China?
Well, isn't it an attempt to finally rally some allies to address the problems in China that are affecting all of us and to move forward, because that's what one of the things that was really missing about withdrawing from the TPP is that there would be a group of like-minded countries and like-minded people going in there to really solve the problems that are at the bottom of all this China trade war.
Right.
Yeah,
Sean?
Chip, I was a guest on Jim's Signal to Noise podcast last Friday, and I talked about this, that I think Trump's coming around to the fact that he can't do this alone, that there is some powers and numbers here, and the U.S. getting the USMCA done is just a piece of that. And so I'm of the opinion, I'm not as worried about this clause as a lot of people are making it out to be up here. China's been trying to bring Canada and Europe onto their side in this battle. And thankfully, I think the Canadian government's saying, hey, we know what side we're on, and it's the right side. It's the U.S. side on this issue. So is it kind of like an economic trade block? Yeah, I guess you can kind of look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim?
I think Sean's spot on. This is no longer just a trade conflict with China, call it a war, whatever you want. It's an economic conflict,
yes,
and it's a geopolitical conflict. And now they're going to be focused on China. The USMCA will serve as a template, if you will, for other, you know, future agreements. So I do think we're finally, as Pam said, going on the right path, allies to allies, and focus on the detrimental things that China's been doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have to tell you, Chip, though, I am really concerned because it doesn't look like this is going to be over anytime soon. So with the economics the way they are, just even thinking about agriculture's uncertainty in this whole thing, when are we going to get to the table? I have a concern that if we think we're going to break the back of China, who's been in business for 2,000 years versus us 200, by ourselves, we're looking at a long-term conflict here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, I got a message from a listener last night, and I think it's very interesting, and it applies to what we're talking about right here. He says, just a for what it's worth, I think it's misleading for your listeners to suggest any deal with China will be a trade deal. U.S. negotiator demands are specific to technology transfer and subsidizing state-owned enterprise. I've not seen anything that points to ag trade that's on the table. Jim, that's a mouthful right there, but it does kind of bottom line things, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And unless when the two of the country's leaders, Trump and Xi, meet in Argentina in December, unless they can come to a meeting of the minds on these multiple issues, yes, Pam, this could be far longer than anyone realizes, and we're going to have to start challenging Sonny Perdue
whether or not
the tariff aid program was just for one.
So what brings us back to the table? We're going to talk about that next.
Hi there. I'm an off-brand tractor battery, and you can buy me online or at the auto parts store pretty cheap. But I'll warn you, I don't have much of a work ethic, yeah. And when it's cold outside, I may not keep a charge. But don't worry, before long, it'll be time to replace me anyway. Hopefully you're not planning anything important that day.
Off-brand batteries are not Strongbox batteries. Strongbox batteries are engineered by John Deere and last up to 8 times as long. Don't risk it with anything less.
Control your destiny in a challenging dairy industry at Farm Journal Media's Milk Business Conference, November 5th through the 7th in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. Register today to network with fellow dairy owners at milkbusinessconference.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us now. Brian, after a couple of, well, actually 3 days of pressure on hog prices, we've got some green going into the weekend.
Yeah, Chip, I think the 3 days that you mentioned is the key there. A lot of times corrective waves come in 3 day, or corrections come in 3 day waves, and we saw the heavy losses of the past 3 days. And then we get to Friday here, and now we're seeing strong gains. And I think it's nothing more than the fact that the past 3 days was a correction. And, it looked from a technical standpoint like we put in a top, and maybe we have. The cash market and product markets have been declining, and we sold it off, and now we get back to Friday, and we see buyers underneath the marketplace. So good strong finish, at least here mid-morning to the week.
And putting some spillover support into the cattle trade?
Yeah, cattle, amazingly, it looks like we're going to see about steady prices in the cash market for a fourth straight week. So really the futures, they pulled back a little bit earlier this week, but just kind of in a holding pattern right now along with the cash market and seeing some of that spillover support from the hogs so far.
Got mixed trade going in the grains.
Well, it's kind of been all over the place, to be honest with you. We saw a little bit of firmer, and then the beans at one point in time were down about 6 cents, and now they're back to almost unchanged, steady to fractionally lower. The corn market's down about 2 cents right now, but, given gains earlier in the week, I think that's not too much of a surprise ahead of the weekend.
Yeah, and these harvest delays, they've got to come into play at some point, don't they?
Well, yes, and the forecast, unfortunately, looking over next week and out through the 10-day window is pretty wet, especially for some of these areas in the central and southern Corn Belt.
Have a great weekend, Brian. That is Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
You're listening to AgriTalk. 1 hour every day, just ag. It's all we do. Join the conversation.
Yeah, join the conversation. Give us a call, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. When you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Okay, what gets China back to the negotiating table? We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, past president of the NCGA, Sean Haney from Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio with us today. Let's get China back to the table. And, Jim, it feels like when African swine fever first broke in China, I said, wouldn't it be something if this is the issue that brings China back to the table? Because Brian Grady had an awesome line on AgriTalk After the Bell earlier this week. You know, there's a CPI in China, the Consumer Price Index, but in reality, it's the Consumer Pork Index. Because 30% of the CPI is made up by the price of pork. That's how important it is to the economy there. Jim, could that disease, is it to the point that it could start to bring China back to the table?
I don't know whether it's to the point, but it's of course, possible. But they could start liquidating some of the good herds to keep the price down. Now, that's not a settlement of a long-term issue there, Chip, right. But you initially ask, what will it take? China cannot, yeah. China's G cannot look weak. So there has to be something behind the scenes that most people will not see. And with Trump, that's hard to get at. That's something behind the scenes. And that's why this is a dilemma.
Yeah, it seriously is. Pam, what do you think might do it?
Well, it is a matter of saving face for both countries. And, I don't know. Yeah. I wish I did know. I wish I did know the answer to that question.
And we'd make it happen.
I think it's what, for me, it's like, so your last email that you got from a listener, I have the same question. What is it we actually want? What are we actually demanding? And then once we know that, how do we get there?
Yeah.
And if is it about national security for the U.S. or is it about steel and aluminum sectors, or is it about trade? And I, for me as a farmer, I've got my list about what it's about. Yeah, it's about IP and IT, and it's about using biotech as non-tariff trade barriers and canceling contracts. But I think if we think we're going to go in there and change China's political system, and this is the bottom line of us getting back to the table, that is not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, and Chip, I think the strategy that worked on Canada, like the threat of the auto tariffs, that sort of strategy doesn't necessarily work on China because it's a different scale and scope. And so I think the word that comes to mind, which is really compromise. And right now, it doesn't seem like either side is really willing to compromise. We have every time it seems like they're going to talk, Then there's a threat of more tariffs inside the same week, and then the talks are kind of blown up. Right. We need to remove ourselves from this sort of political gain tit for tat and actually get to the table and talk things out here and figure it out. And I maybe temper the expectations a little bit too. That might be part of it.
Yeah, in these situations, Chip, you usually have a blue ribbon commission by both countries to look into the serious matters and then, you know, kind of delay it, but at least that it would give them a forum to discuss. Maybe it'll be something like that. But, you know, Secretary Perdue this week started to condition, I think, American producers by saying, looking back, maybe we should not have relied on one country in the case of soybeans and China so much. I read that as that's conditioning here.
That's exactly right. When I heard him say that, that was my thought exactly, that this thing is going to last longer than what anybody might anticipate. I shouldn't say anybody, than what many people anticipate right now. It's going to last longer. The other thing, Jim, that Secretary Perdue told me was when I asked him what got the USMCA deal done, he basically said, well, it was the deadline. It was the deadline that got things done there. The problem with China is there's no deadline on this thing. Right?
Yes. Well, you do. He may have his people's deadline. If the economy were to go south from their version of a decrease, perhaps into the 5%, you know, GDP growth area, that would be a deadline for him to come to a compromise. So he's not free and easy, meaning Xi, you know, Xi Jinping, their leader. So I think... But that is going to take time. So pressure will continue to build on this thing. This is an economic war, if nothing else.
Okay, let's switch gears here. Move on to biofuels. Pam, President Trump coming to Iowa next week. The buzz is loud and clear. Everybody's looking for him to officially make E15 available year-round in all areas. It better happen this time.
We've been hanging on that buzz, haven't we, Chip?
Yeah.
And it started a long time ago and was really reiterated at the Farm Progress Show when a promise from Sonny Perdue that it was going to happen the next week. And I hear already that this announcement's going to be tempered and because of opposition from the oil state senators. So, and I think, too, yes, as we've said before, E15, we definitely need it. We all can attest to the growth in the farm economy and the ag economy for the U.S. because of the renewable fuel standard. So if that's not accompanied by addressing this waiver issue, then really you have to ask yourself, what have we gained?
Yep, and Jim, I don't think the waiver issue is going to be addressed. Now, trading of RINs, I think, is going to be addressed, isn't it?
Yes, well, that's at least from, you know, they're having the final meeting today, so we haven't had the leaks yet out of that meeting. But, yeah, I'm not hearing waiver talk in this coming announcement, hopefully the announcement October the 9th in Council Bluffs, Illinois.
Iowa.
Sorry.
The old Illinois boy's trying to lay claim to Council Bluffs now, Pam. But it will be good news. It's not a cure-all move for what's going on in the corn market. I don't think there's any question about that. It does help. But I think the expectations of what E15 and year-round availability in all areas – some might have some overblown expectations of what it might mean for corn demand going down the road, but it is a positive. The point that Pam made is spot on. Really what we need to get to is address those waivers and make sure that we stick to the rule of the law of the RFS. I don't know if that's going to, if that's going to happen or not. Speaking of the RFS, Jim, what's Cruz's situation down in Texas?
Well, he's in a tight contest. The latest polls, if you believe them, he's up by only 4 points. That's tight. That's where his challenger, Beto, can come back. If the Hispanic vote will vote in any numbers, and they're not expected to, he could actually lose, but that's not a forecast. I noticed on this letter to Trump, Trump was not on that letter. Maybe he was just not around when they asked for signatures, but I thought it was odd that his name was not on that, trying to tell Trump to back off of this announcement.
You mean Cruz's name wasn't on the
Cruz's
letter.
Cruz's yes. name was not on that letter. So maybe he just was out campaigning, to be fair, but usually they have a rubber stamp with their signature that they can put on those letters. I'm trying to find out why his name was not on that, Chip.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Beto
even turned down, or he sort of talked down, a possible endorsement from Obama. So, like, Beto's going all out here for all sides. Hey, Chip, I talked to one grain company executive this week who said he thinks to deal with some of the glut of beans on the carryover number that we dealt with last week and what's happening with corn, he thinks the Trump administration should really get behind biodiesel and increasing ethanol use, that is one way to really tackle this.
Well, it would help.
Especially if this we've been just kind of opened a little window for some insight to see that this China thing is going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And yes, all of these little markets, these other new trade agreements will help immensely, and E15 would help, but honestly, there's no replacement for China. China's growth potential and other parts of the world and India are really important to the U.S., that we make sure that we're in that market also. So, you know, is it just to temper farmer angst before the election by making these big announcements like in Council Bluffs? I don't know. Yes, the RFS and E15 is important to us, but so are these lingering trade deals.
Right. Right. Absolutely. No question about it. And Sean, on the biodiesel push, believe me, I'm all for biodiesel. You can't. I am fully for biodiesel. But if we start crushing beans for oil, that's a bearish situation, because the amount of meal that we would be putting onto the marketplace would be a negative. And a meal-led market in the soy complex is always much stronger, because, and it's simple, you know, you got 80% of the bean is meal, 20% is oil. So if you start crushing for 20% of the value of that bean, that turns into a longer term problem and creates an oversupply of the soybean meal, which
sounds like our skim pro
crushing capacity, Chip, in the U.S.
I think, you know, Jim, I don't know the answer to that, because every time I thought we were up against crush capacity, we'd push it even further and have another record crush month like we did in August. So I don't know where
we're going to have to send it to South America to be crushed.
To be crushed. That's exactly right. We're starting to see that happen with Brazil and Argentina buying some U.S. beans. We're going to wrap up the free-for-all next.
When a silent thief is robbing the country's crops of higher yields, it'll take a bold step to bring balance and restore hope. This season, find out how far one granule will go to unlock the potential of soybean plants.
You know, Jim, it'll take a miracle to give these fields the boron they need for the full season.
Presenting the true story of three powerful elements joining forces to maximize soybean yields.
Jim, our retailer recommended Aspire. It combines potassium with not one, but two forms of boron.
This season and all season, get ready for full crop potential when Aspire presents Growing Beyond the Outer Limits. From the Mosaic Company, the maker of Micro Essentials and K-Meg, now available in retailers. We will not spoil the ending, but your retailer or AspireBoron.com will.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-498-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-498-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-498-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Control your destiny in a challenging dairy industry at Farm Journal Media's Milk Business Conference, November 5th through the 7th in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. Register today to network with fellow dairy owners at milkbusinessconference.com.
Welcome to No Man's Land, a new podcast from U.S. Farm Report host Tyne Morgan.
Bacon is the gateway for a lot of people who are vegetarian.
That has to sink into our listeners. Bacon is the gateway meat.
I invite you to join me each week as I shine a spotlight on powerful women in agriculture while empowering all women in agriculture, going where no man has gone before.
No Man's Land with Tyne Morgan is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
We're agriculture. We feed the world. And it's what we love to talk about. Join the conversation.
All right. Welcome back to the free-for-all, everybody. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio. And guys, I'm going to let Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, past president of the NCGA, just go off on this one here for a second. But USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue told me yesterday on AgriTalk that he doesn't think the fact that we don't have a new farm bill really means is going to mean all that much to the average dirt farmer out there.
Yeah, that raised up the hair on the back of my neck a little bit, the same way when he said farmers don't care about RINs out at Commodity Classic. So really, don't the average farmers concern about having a farm bill and the certainty? Of course, crop insurance is there, yep. But for me, one of the big things is the programs that are not funded now after September 30. A huge one is market development and trade issues. So, for example, the U.S. Grains Council and the U.S. Meat Export Federation, which really move product around the world,
yes.
They have to consider closing offices and firing people at a time when we need them more and more to be opening up new markets and helping to keep the old ones open. So does the farm bill being passed make a difference? I hate to swear, but hell yes, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It does. And Jim, you know, on one hand, you've got Secretary Perdue saying, listen, you know what? Maybe we made a mistake becoming so reliant on China for our soybean exports. And on the other hand, he's saying that, we're really not going to notice it as a dirt farmer out here. But we do need those market development programs operational.
Well, he is trying to find some, you know, there are millions of dollars floating around USDA's budget. Now, I think they'll eventually find it. In the farm bill that's being discussed with no timeline right now, they, in the future, they take care of the many of these problems with the so-called Orphan 39 programs, okay?
Yeah.
As far as a market development, many of the groups usually plan on this possibly happening. So in their budgeting, and if they don't, then they're remiss to do for not doing so. I'm not as concerned short term about this because of the planning that they should have done, expecting Congress will never deliver on time. Plus, Sonny Perdue is trying to find some money to, you know, take care of the FMD program.
Okay, and it's not just a nutrition title issue that's holding things up. It's Title I, isn't it, Jim?
It's a big one in Title I, but in my podcast, I'm going to focus on this, Chip, because it takes some breath here. But I think Heidi Heitkamp was just doing the talking points of Stabenow this week, because the Senate bill actually decreases the funding for Title I, listen up, commodity groups, by $400 million. In an era in which you don't have more money to spend, you have to rearrange the pie. And frankly, this is what the House bill is trying to do with some improvements. And you know, some of their provisions on this yield update, yes, it favors Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, but there's 14 states impacted in over 400 counties. So I think facts should be, you know, presented on this one.
I think we should have Debbie Stabenow on to give the perspective about what's really happening there for a balanced perspective.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And how Pat Roberts literally gave her billions of dollars from the rural electrics, and she spread it around to rooftop gardens, urban agriculture, etc. I think we need that perspective, with also Pat Roberts on as well.
Well, that would be a fun free-for-all.
Oh,
that would
my
be great.
Gosh. What are you guys asking me to do? Get Stabenow and Roberts on the show at the same time? Good grief.
And throw Conaway in.
Well, and if we're going to do that, let's bring Colin along too.
Oh,
absolutely.
This would be great.
Boy, wouldn't that be fun?
You think
you got problems solved down in South Bend last weekend for the trade agreement, Sean? Man, we'd really get things done if we had that going.
Hey, if Mike Conaway needs me to come over and drink beer at his house, I'll do it anytime. Hey, you know what? Sonny Perdue, you know, his comments there, I view that as a bit of a test, because when I was down last week in the U.S., I heard from a lot of people about how nobody's talking about the farm bill. Yeah. So maybe it's not that important. So I read his comments yesterday as a bit of a, like, just sort of throwing it out there. Maybe it's not that important. And of course, we know full well it is. Especially, you need a safety net program at a time when we've got so much trade anxiety out there with the China and how long that
Sean,
can
last. I think that's a great point. And so with the market facilitation program and payments coming this fall or as soon as harvest is over, does that dull the importance of the farm bill? And then it begs a bigger question about, so is this program, if we're going to have a protracted, lengthy China trade war, is this a one-time deal or is this going to continue? Mm-hmm. Big questions for agriculture.
Sean, you had a good question. Are we getting into a period where there's going to be more payments on a more regular basis?
Absolutely. We're talking about free trade and all these trade deals, and everybody's trying to get the deals done. But at the same time, domestically, we're hearing it in Canada this week. I'm hearing in the U.S. this week as well. How do we compensate people, and how do we funnel more money into the industry to help them deal with some of these issues? And so it's sort of two-faced, two-sided. It's trade hypocrisy a little bit. At a time where we have the president talking about how we need to not only decrease tariffs but decrease subsidies, it's not the reality. What's happening?
Jim,
especially,
I would say this.
Especially like you have an ATM machine at USDA called the Commodity Credit Corporation. Both political parties in the future, I hope I'm wrong, will try to tap that. I think that's going to be to the detriment of overall U.S. farm policy.
Guys, farm country flexed their muscles last year, or in the 2016 elections. I don't think this should be any surprise that we're seeing some of these program and payments ramp back up out there. It's a political tool. Guys, we got to go. Great conversation today. Thank you so much, Pam. We'll talk with you again real soon.
Yep. Thank you, Chip.
Sean, good to talk with you, buddy, and welcome to the AgriTalk app.
Hey, Chip, thanks a lot. Everybody have a great... It's Canadian Thanksgiving. Cheers, everybody.
All right, Jim Wiesmeyer, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Sure.
All right, come back this afternoon for ATB. Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities. Have a great weekend, everybody.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgro Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.